What's going on, guys? You are now listening to the Lean Dad Podcast for dads who want to lose weight and become a healthy role model for their kids. I'm your host, Patrick Ryan. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to be here. Now, let's dive in, my friends.
The title to this episode says it all, my friends. Generational health. Yeah, we probably spend a little bit more, and I mean like a teensy weensy little bit more time talking about generational wealth, but I'm here to get a deeper conversation started around generational health. We dive deep. We talk about some stuff that might make you a little bit uncomfortable, but again, I'm not just here to plant seeds of thought and plant seeds of motion within you, but I'm thinking not only about you, I'm thinking about your partner, I'm thinking about your kids, I'm thinking about your kids' kids, I'm thinking about your kids' kids' kids. You know the drill. The change starts within each and every one of you guys. When you start prioritizing your health, when you start prioritizing your own well-being, it can and will create a ripple effect. But the key differentiating factor here, my friends, is what kind of energy do you want to be influencing or utilizing as a fuel source to get that ripple effect started? So we talk about how your patterns of behavior around the holidays when it comes to your exercise, eating, you know, lack of exercise, overeating, your emotionality, and how you handle the events of the holidays, as well as anything outside of that, just your behavior and how your behavior around and your mindset around your own wellness routine, your well-being, your weight loss, whatever that might be, prioritizing your health or not prioritizing your health, it has an effect on your kids. Your kids are watching, whether you're explicitly talking to them or not, they are watching and they are witnessing your journey, and you are normalizing that in some way, shape, or form. So this is where we go a little bit deeper, where we talk about what you do or what you do not do can and will influence the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. So as Gandhi would say, be the change you wish to see in the world. So if you're wanting to be healthier, you're going to have to start taking care of yourself. If you're wanting there to be a healthier world, you're going to have to start taking care of yourself and paying attention to the energy and the thoughts and the emotionality that's fueling that journey. So let's dive in and do it. And we are live and direct from my dining room table here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We're getting crafty. You know, for those of you that think we're recording this in some just luxurious, incredible studio, I would argue we are. It's in our home. But you know, at any rate, we're living through a very beautiful time in the world where the opportunity is there to create something from a place as simple and as magnificent as your dining room table. So the dining room table in our home here in New Mexico has been the mainstay for the podcast. It's a really cool, unique spot. You know, right now I'm looking to my left at my buddy and audio engineer, Scott Marin. So much love to him. He's been sitting next to me during every single episode here of the podcast. We've got our fruit basket right in the middle of the dining room table, some envelopes that need attending to, so all that good stuff. So what I'm getting at is not only for business owners, my fellow personal trainers, but mainly you guys and gals listening, you individuals out there listening, imperfect action trumps all. You don't need the perfect setup. You don't need all these arbitrary things in order to get started. You don't need this specified room. It's just use what you got, even if it might just be your phone. So, all right. So as we are getting this episode started, we're in the new year. Welcome to 2022, my friends. And I've really done some heavy thinking about what kind of information and what kind of messaging that I would like to get out to each and every one of you, what I would like to get out to the world when it comes to, it is what it is. It's not my favorite time of the year from the perspective of a coach in that, yeah, it's it's part of this constant cycle that somehow we seem to view as new each year. Yes, it is a new year, but we continue to go through this process of New Year's resolutions and somehow, you know, touching on this arbitrary kind of timeline and checklist that we as humans do such a good job of creating for ourselves in creating these arbitrary timelines of start dates, right? I'll wait until after the new year. And we put so much energy in feeling like somehow after December 31st that we're going to have a fresh slate when, you know, you could argue that you do. And I would argue that is that way because you had made the conscious decision to create that clean slate, no different than if you were to decide that on December 30th or December 20th or the day after Thanksgiving or today, whatever day that is that you're listening to this, that is the day that you will create the clean slate. However, I digress. We'll talk about that, and we've talked about that in other episodes prior to this one that has aired. But for those of you that don't know or are working on getting acquainted, you know, it's nice to meet you. My name's Patrick Ryan, otherwise known as the weird bearded guy. And really, as 2021 has come to a close and 2022 has now begun, I'm just in a much different space as far as really thinking more in depth about what kind of angle I'm wanting to hit this whole fitness and health thing from. Because if we continue just to focus on our health, on our progress, on our weight loss, our strength gains, all that kind of stuff, through this two-dimensional lens of just exercise and just diet, you know, the diet restriction aspect of things. I feel like if I continue talking about things that way and continue going down that route as your coach, I'm actually doing you a pretty major disservice because one, that's already been done. That's been done for decades now. And it's so interesting being in the wing of the industry that I'm in and identifying how it's really my job to remain rather progressive and stay a little bit more on the bleeding edge and finding different ways to convey these important messages, not only to help get you all moving, but I would argue to mainly help shift your perspective as weight loss and as improving our health is, it's a mental game, my friends. It is a psychological experience. And if we are not taking the time to map out a conscious framework as to how we are choosing to view these experiences and going a little bit more in depth with ourselves as it applies to why we're doing what we're doing outside of just the purely aesthetic vanity driven pieces and aspects of it. Sure, that's fine. That can start as your entry point. But if we are constantly staying in that state and using those pieces of I want to lose X amount of pounds, I want to fit in this shirt, I want to look a certain way naked, I want to look a certain way in the mirror, those things are totally fine. I want to really remind you all, that's cool, that's fine. But I feel like it's my job to really encourage you all to understand and take the time to really think a little more deeply around that's the starting point. And knowing that as you get the ball rolling and get the process started, that yes, that will indeed be a starting point, but that way of thinking and that way of doing things is likely not going to sustain you long term. It's going to be a resource that is finite in nature. You will run out of that resource at some point in time, which over time, whether it be a day, a week, a month, a few months, a year, a few years, it's going to be different for everybody. But as time goes on, you're going to start to understand and realize that you are going to have to find other resources to pull from to keep you moving forward and to keep you moving forward in a sustainable fashion. So just as the title of this episode entails, we're talking about generational health, okay? Get your notebooks out, my friends. Write this kind of stuff down. Use them as reminders. Generational health. We hear something similar to that phrase in generational wealth being talked about all the time when it comes to, yeah, we want to be smart and we want to be wise and we want to be resourceful when it comes to learning how we learning about money, learning about how it works, learning about how we can leverage it, as well as growing into a space and into a stage where we can pass down those tools, pass down those resources, and I would argue pass down that mindset and that relationship that we have with money, hopefully a positive one, and hand that down to our children, hand it down to the next generation. That way, the next generation doesn't have to deal with the headaches, the frustration, the issues that maybe we had to deal with. We're providing a more seamless and elevated platform for them to begin with, as opposed to just having them start where we started, just because, you know, I had to suffer, so you need to just follow my lead and suffer. I don't think any of you, especially you dads out there, I don't think you're really interested in handing that down to your kids. So my intention behind this episode is flipping the script when it's I don't know that we do a very good job talking about money in this culture. We'll save that for another episode, but it does speak to a very in-depth issue or a kind of paralleled theme in our culture in not talking about and not acting upon the things that truly matter. And having those tough conversations with ourselves, that way we can better serve ourselves, that way we can better serve our family, and that way we can better serve our children. And in this particular context, yes, we're going to go back to this term and this phrase, generational health. And the question that I will ask you guys is, are you creating generational health for your family? Are you creating generational health for your kids? And we're going to take some time to just kind of play around with peeling back the layers, because as time has gone on, my perspective has shifted quite dramatically from that of not only the physical component of handing that generational health down to your kids and your family, obviously through eating healthy foods. You know, you want your kids to be able to see you cooking healthy foods and prioritizing appropriate grocery shopping and including them and all that kind of stuff, as well as you obviously want your children to see you active and exercising and doing that on a consistent basis, not only from their inception to this world through their born, them seeing and them feeling and bearing witness to and being in the proximity of you and your significant other continuing to exercise and prioritize movement and prioritize health in the many dimensions that it does exist. Those things are very important. So I'll spend some time talking about those elements first, as far as the very physical, the very tangible elements of our health that we'll touch on here briefly. But after that, I want to take it a level deeper. And I want to take it a level deeper in the things that you maybe don't explicitly say to your children. More so the mindset aspect of things. How your kids may non-verbally see you respond to stress, and how they see you or don't see you handle stuff like your sleep and handle your recovery, and how that will play a role in this generational health, positive, negative, or neutral, that you will, regardless of whether you want it or not, that you will be handing down to your children. And at some point in time, your children will either, they're going to have to confront that, and they're going to have to confront and understand to a greater degree what you have handed to them, whether that be in their teens, their 20s, maybe their 30s, or it could be as late as in their 40s, 50s, or 60s. And in my professional opinion, all these pieces that we're going to be talking about in this episode are very much rooted in, it's our responsibility as adults. It's our responsibility. I'm not a parent at this point in time, but it's our responsibility as parents to do everything within our power to provide a healthy, connected, and conscious space for our children, and providing a seamless transition and normalizing healthy behaviors, both physical, mental, and spiritual, providing a seamless handover or a seamless transition to our children in adopting those practices in a normalized space, to where it is made normal to exercise on a consistent basis. It is made normal to prioritize healthy grocery shopping. It's made normal to prioritize purchasing a piece of exercise equipment over a big screen TV over Black Friday, normalizing behaviors that we know deep down in the center of our being as adults and as parents that are the right thing to do, first and foremost for ourselves, so we can pour from a full cup as opposed to perpetually pouring from an empty cup, as well as it creating that ripple effect, right? And it being sent out to your immediate family, those that live with you, your kids, then it's being sent out to your extended family, out to your community, out to the world. The ripple effect is very real. So we'll backtrack a little bit and we'll touch on the exercise component of things. And I'm doing this as a means of planting a seed for a lot of you. We're in the new year. There's a lot of motivation. There's a lot of gusto, right? Many of us might have gone the whole holiday season eating maybe in a way we didn't prefer to eat. We ate more than we would have preferred to eat. We didn't exercise nearly as much as we wanted to exercise, and that's okay. I'll let you know right now, there's no such thing as failure, only feedback. So for those of you that maybe didn't get a chance to listen to the episode, I would backtrack to, I think it was the episode we aired on the 19th, where I re-aired an episode I did with Morgan Christian of the People Pursuing Greatness podcast, and talking about what kind of mindset we need to adopt when it comes to going into the holiday season. So I would encourage you to take some time, go back to that episode and listen to that, because, hey, newsflash, if we're fortunate enough and if we're lucky enough, we're going to be able to experience another holiday season. Like, it's going to happen. There's going to be another Thanksgiving. There's going to be another Kwanzaa. There's going to be another Christmas. There's going to be another New Year's Eve. So we need to quit acting like just because we got through this year's holiday event that somehow next year's holiday events and holiday seasons just somehow do not exist, because that's not how that works. So there's information there, first and foremost. Take the time to compassionately reflect on how the holiday season went for you, and take a compassionate inventory of what you would like to do differently in the next holiday season, because the cool thing about it is you've got 12 months to prepare for it. And a shameless plug is, if you're needing help with that, I'm kind of your guy. So you know where to find me. I'm happy to help you prepare for that, because it's real. So obviously, we went through the holidays. It might have gone really well. It might not have really gone well. Let's say it hasn't gone as well as you would have preferred. You've gained some weight. You're obviously now in this space to where you're likely dealing with some guilt. You're not feeling too hot about how you feel, how you're performing, which is now, at least initially, it's fueling a lot of motivation. It's fueling a lot of motivation for you to get the ball rolling. Before you even start on this workout program, or before you even start with this diet regimen that you're going to get going on, if you have kids, your kids are already watching you, my friend. Think about that for a second. This whole holiday season that you've gone through, whether it's not this whole process isn't you just stopping what you're doing and explicitly telling your kid, hey, I am, and you explaining your actions, you know, and saying, hey, I am doing X, Y, and Z with the holiday season. I'm doing this. I'm eating this amount, yada, yada, yada. You're not doing that. And I'm not encouraging you to do that. What I'm saying is your kids are watching. They're watching your behavior. They're looking to you as a beacon of normalcy as to how to behave, how to handle stress, and what kind of patterns of behavior that you are normalizing, that you are making quote unquote normal for your kids. So when your kids grow up and they get older and they become adults, what are they going to reference? They're going to reference how dad would do things over the holidays, whether you told them how to do it or not. So just by you experiencing this last holiday stint, whether it went well, or in this case, if it didn't go well, your kids are watching, and they're watching your behavior, and they're watching the patterns that might be building over time. And by what I mean by that is, this probably isn't the first holiday season that you went through where you ate more than you normally would. You exercised far less than you would have preferred. You gained weight. Your kids are paying attention to your behaviors around that, as well as they're starting to pay closer attention to, okay, I'm noticing that mom, dad, whoever, I'm starting to notice that around New Year's Eve is when they decide to get their shit together and they're motivated. They're more ready to do what they need to do. That's the blueprint that you're starting to create for your kids. And that's the blueprint that you're creating with your family. So again, I'm just planting seeds of thought here. So I would compassionately encourage you to ask yourself, is that the kind of routine that you already want to start building, not only for yourself, that's the most important piece here, is that the kind of routine that you want to be building not only for yourself, but is that the kind of pattern of behavior that you want to be building a blueprint out for your kids? So take some time to just think about that, because they're watching. They're always watching you, regardless of whether you're telling them about it or you're not. They're paying attention to your behaviors because they're trying to build a roadmap as to how to live their lives whenever they get older. Whenever they get older another day, another week, another year, they're going to be referencing your behavior. And we can either make their process of growing and becoming an adult and managing and prioritizing their health, we can either make that easier for them and more accessible because we have made a conscious decision to normalize healthy behaviors, or we can make it more difficult for them. So that's what I would encourage you all to think about. So, okay, well, fast forward. We're in the new year now, okay? Let's look at present moment. You're super motivated to get the ball rolling, right? You're ready to push in the gym, you're ready to push with your eating, all that stuff is fine. But what I'm really encouraging you to think about this a little bit differently is, what is your primary resource of fuel? What are you using as fuel? Are you going to continue to use guilt as fuel? Are you going to continue to use fear as fuel? Are you going to continue to use anxiety as fuel? Because if you do, and you lean on those things forever and ever, and they continue to perpetuate this cycle of, you push hard because you feel guilty at the beginning of the year, and the reason you feel guilty at the beginning of the year is because you overate and you under-exercised over the holiday season, that's the blueprint. Just think about it. That's the type of generational health you are inevitably going to be passing down to your kids in one way, shape, or form. There might be a chance where they look at that and they make the conscious decision that they're wanting to do the exact opposite, or they may adopt that as is 100%. We don't know what that's going to look like, but I'm just coming from a place of trying to take care of you first, because you can't use guilt and fear and anxiety and a scarcity mindset as a primary resource for fuel to get you moving. It's not sustainable. It's not sustainable for you, and it's not sustainable for your kids. But regardless, say that's your starting point. You're going to run out of that fuel. And the alternative fuel source that I'm encouraging you all to start utilizing is this generational health piece. Do you want your kids to operate? Let me backtrack. I think we all can agree, I've yet to have a conversation with one single individual that has told me that they do not want to be healthy for the rest of their lives. And with that being said, it means that we need to start adopting a different mindset and a different way of operating when it comes to what motivates us to move and what motivates us to continue to move and to continue to prioritize our health. Because just getting going at the gym and just paying closer attention to your eating or doing whatever diet you may want to be doing, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but that is literally just the beginning. That is the gatekeeper, so to speak. That's the initial door that you open that will then, as long as you continue to stay conscious and as long as you continue to pay attention and open to the fact that there are so many other doors that can support your well-being, you're going to make your life a lot easier with a more open mindset. And excuse me, And it's just continuing to keep in mind that the mindset that you adopt and the mindset that you decide to continue having long term is in some way, shape, or form a mindset that you are going to be handing down to your kids. And why on earth do we want something so beautiful, something so powerful in being healthy? Like, think about it. For those of us that have been able, you know, have been able to experience good health, for those of you that maybe lost some weight or knew what it felt like to be at your ideal weight, maybe when you were in high school or in college, that should not be a fleeting experience. That should be your norm, being healthy. That should be your center, being healthy should be. And why on earth do we allow, and why on earth do we continue to operate in such a fashion where our health has to be laced with such strain? Why does being healthy and why does the pursuit of health have to be a stressful event, when I think we all can agree that when we're healthier, we're happier. We're able to have a greater impact on ourselves. Our outlook on our life is better. Our impact and our relationships with our family, our children, our community, our communities, not only physical, but virtual, i.e. social media, when we're healthier, we're happier. We're able to impart so much more beauty on the world, onto the world as a result of our health. So why should our pursuit be fueled with such negative energy? Why does it need to be only and solely fueled with guilt? Why does it have to be solely fueled with fear? Why does it have to be solely fueled with shame? Why does it have to be solely fueled through this pattern of behavior, this seasonal pattern, i.e. going through the holidays and just kind of throwing your hands up and saying, all right, it's the holidays. You know the drill, everybody. Holidays are synonymous with falling off track. Cool. I'm just going to take a 3-month hiatus as soon as Halloween gets going, or as soon as October comes around. I'm going to take a 3-month hiatus, and we'll kind of wipe our hands clean and pick it back up after the new year. Why have we made the conscious decision to acknowledge or make the conscious decision and choosing that be the standard, that be the gold standard of behavior when it comes to our well-being? And the generational health piece is really, really prompting you all to think about, yeah, it might be worth considering an alternative fuel source when it comes to fueling your well-being. In thinking and reframing this whole experience of not only just the foods you eat and all that kind of stuff, but really rethinking your behaviors. And yes, we all can agree that exercising more in some way, shape, or form is beneficial for you. We all can agree that making better decisions at the grocery store and making more conscious decisions with our spending and prioritizing spending that's going to benefit our health, stuff of that sort, is better for us. What I'm getting at is, we need to make a more conscious decision as to what's fueling those decisions, because if they're constantly fueled by guilt, by fear, by pain, well, what do you think the byproduct is going to be when that fuel resource runs out? You're going to be seeking more pain. You're going to be seeking more fear. You're going to be seeking more anxiety to help continue to keep you going. And then it starts to create a really, really disordered relationship for you with exercise. It creates a disordered relationship with investing in a coach. It creates a disordered relationship with investing extra money at the grocery store for good foods. It creates a disordered relationship with investing in a quality pair of shoes or a quality piece of exercise equipment, as opposed to going out to eat every week. You see kind of what I'm getting at, is it starts to distort your lens of focus. And it's not only distorting your lens of focus, but it's distorting your family's lens of focus to such a point to where, well, yeah, it's not so much of a surprise anymore why the pursuit of a healthy lifestyle has a negative stigma attached to it. It's because it's clouded with so much negative energy that why would anybody want to touch exercise or movement when it's fueled by those things? Why would your kids want to do that? It makes you tense just thinking about it. It makes them tense just thinking about it. That's already creating an avoidant kind of dynamic and relationship. So this is where we've got to do things differently. We've got to be willing to flip the script and looking at things through a lens of, I am nourishing myself first. My movement is coming from a place of love because I love myself. I love my body. I love my being. I love my spirit. I already love it as it is, but I'm wanting to crank it up a few notches. I want to continue to nourish it. And as a byproduct, that's going to inevitably overflow and be passed to my family, my kids, anybody that's in immediate contact with me. That's the type of introduction that I'm going to be giving people to a healthy lifestyle, is one that's rooted in love, that's rooted in positivity. It's so much more inviting. I think y'all can kind of get where I'm coming from here. It's a matter of creating an inviting space and an inviting entry into your movement and into your nourishment, as opposed to one that's just so rooted in negative energy and is so rooted in a scarcity mindset. We're really trying to flip the script and identifying that we're adopting an abundance mindset here. Because if you're wanting your kids to do the things that you want them to do when it comes to eating healthier, when it comes to prioritizing movement, well, they're looking at you. And they're looking at what you're doing and how you are behaving. And they're looking and they can feel it. They're paying attention to the energy that surrounds your actions when it comes to your exercise, when it comes to how you spend your money, how you prioritize your time. So you are either creating a more welcoming, inviting space for them to take part in that. You might be creating a more neutral space, or you could be creating a more negative space to where it's like, yeah, why would they ever want to do that? Because all they saw was their dad overeat and binge drink over the holidays. And then I'm going to touch on the other doors that open that many of us guys don't take the time to open, but they see their dad gain weight, feel guilty. He overeats, he overdrinks, he doesn't know how to process his own emotions. His emotional intelligence isn't there, so he bottles everything up and he compartmentalizes everything and he takes it out on exercise, because all he knows is that in order to feel good and vent any frustration, he's got to exercise and push hard, as opposed to, yeah, maybe a little bit of exercise is helpful, but maybe it's also beneficial to consult a counselor and ask for help, or let people in their immediate circle know that, hey, I'm not okay. I'm frustrated because I'm eating this way because I'm stressed at work, and I eat, you know, down the rabbit hole we go. But the main component is your kids are paying attention, and they're not just paying attention to what you eat. They're not just paying attention to how much you do or don't exercise. They're paying attention to your energy and your handling of adversity, because as somebody who's making his way into his early 30s, as well as many of you, we're not getting any younger. We're getting older with each passing day, and life isn't just a slice of cake. It's not always the easiest. We're constantly being thrown stuff. We're constantly being thrown off our game. We're constantly being thrown off balance. And if our health and well-being is not the center point and the focal point and the priority, it's going to be so much more difficult to balance and I guess you could say handle the adversity that's constantly being thrown our way. And if we're consistently pushing our well-being off and not prioritizing it and waiting until a perfect time, or waiting until the new year, or waiting until whenever, whatever arbitrary timeline you that makes you feel good and sleep good at night, you're normalizing that behavior, and your kids are going to see that, and they're going to see that as normal, and they will carry that out. And all I'm encouraging is taking conscious, compassionate inventory as to whether or not what you're doing is serving you in the long run, and whether that's something you truly want to be handing down to your kids, because it's not always a process of what you explicitly sit your children down and talk to them about. It's also the things you don't talk about, because they're paying attention to how you move. They're paying attention to your body language. They're paying attention to your energy. They're paying attention to your emotionality. Whether you think you can hide it or not, they're watching, and they're absorbing everything all the time. And I'm not saying this as a means of walking on eggshells. We're human. This is part of the experience. We're going to make mistakes, and we're not going to operate perfectly. But it's mainly thinking about, if you're wanting health and well-being and to get to that weight loss goal to be part of you and be something that you can maintain long-term, I think it's worth reconsidering your fuel source and reconsidering what you're utilizing as your motivator, because you can only guilt yourself into this, and you can only shame yourself into this for so long until that fuel source runs out and you're trying to quote unquote muster up the motivation and the willpower to do it all over again. You've got to create a more imaginative mental framework as to, well, why can't consistent movement and a healthy lifestyle to be handed down to your children be a motivator? And being able to better handle adversity and handle your emotions and understand your relationship with food and your relationship with adversity, why can't those be a primary focal point? And in being able to better manage those in such a way to where you normalize your response to those things in a healthy fashion. You normalize those things for yourself, first and foremost, and you normalize those behaviors for your kids, because you can introduce them to healthy foods, but it's not going to mean anything if you're trying to shove it down their throat and they're feeling that negative energy that's tied to it, because you're just trying to feed them healthy foods because you're panicked and you're stressed that if you don't eat healthy, the world's going to fall apart. And it's coming from a place of scarcity as opposed to a place of abundance. That will be felt, and that will be experienced, and that will be relived through not only yourself, but through your kids and the rest of your family. So I think a lot of it's a matter of thinking about what kind of introduction and what kind of door do you want yourself and your family and your kids to be walking into the quote-unquote health experience, and thinking about things through that lens of what kind of generational health do you want to be passing down to your kids? Do you want it to be, do you want your kids to only know that it's fueled by guilt, by shame, by angst, by anger, frustration, all these negatively kind of charged momentum? Or do you want them to be motivated, and do you want them to be fueled by something greater than that, by something playful, by something fun, by something exuberant and vibrant? The choice is ultimately up to you guys. But think about it. I know this might be a lot to digest. It's something that I'm sure I'll be talking about more and more and more in the future. But if you have questions, you have outlets here. Like I said in the intro, and I'll say here again in the outro, shoot me a message on Instagram. You can always connect with me there at aware_lifeabq. As well as, if you're not a part of the free Facebook community that I've got for dads, it's called Lean Dad Project. The link to that group is in the show notes. Join, ask questions, get educated, because, believe it or not, how your dad taught you to take care of your health or not take care of your health is not the only way to take care of your health. There's other ways of doing it that might be a little bit more fun, that may not be nearly as strenuous as you thought they needed to be. But yes, you've got, the way that I'll kind of sum this up is, you've got three different components here. You've got the nutritional element of how you take care of your health in this new year. You've got the physical element, and you have your psychological element. And I'm sure as I continue down this path as a coach and learning more, I'm going to continue to better identify more elements and more dimensions. But the important takeaway here is pay closer attention to those three dimensions of your journey and what kind of energy is fueling your pursuit, because it's not only you just having this experience, it's your partner, it's your kids, it's your friends, it's your circle, it's your community, it's being felt. And that's what you're projecting out into the world, whether you know it or not. So, all right, dudes, let's make it a strong 2020. I encourage you, I implore, play around with that alternative resource, that alternative fuel source. And if you have questions, more questions about that, ask the questions. This is all about educating you all. That's the sole focus here. So much love, dudes. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Once again, thank you so much for carving out the time to hear what was shared on today's podcast. Now, if what you heard today resonates with you and you'd like to continue the conversation, then I'd be happy to personally invite you to join our private Facebook community with countless other dads like yourself who are on this journey with you. All you have to do is go to facebook.com/groups/leandadproject. Click the join button at the top of the page and you're good to go. Again, that's facebook.com/groups/leandadproject. And by the way, the link to the Facebook group is in the show notes too, so be sure to check that out. All right, my friends, that's it for today. In the meantime, love one another, take care of one another, and please, please, please be grateful for each other. Much love, my friends. Cheers.